but also I remember being in high school and being like, if this is the best years of my life, what's the point of my life? I thought I was going to freeze. I was waiting for it, and then it never came. That's what
Happy Tuesday, Turkey Tots.
Happy Tuesday. I told Kayla before we started, I took a cold shower this morning, and I'm sort of feeling rejuvenated.
I have not taken a cold shower yet. Look, oh, see, I was like, we both have black mugs. Mine is in the dishwasher. My non-sexual soulmate's branded mug. Peep the merch. No, but top of the morning to you.
Shall we jump in? How did this begin? Oh, I remember. I was talking to Jason and then talking to you about everyone saying marriage is hard work and how that phrase is a pet peeve of mine. And then we started talking. Well, Jason and I were talking about it and he was like, you guys should talk about that. That's not how he sounds. And I told him, I'm like, man, I feel a little arrogant talking about not marriage advice, but my perception of marriage when we have only been married for 3 years. But I also feel as though people in our target audience that we previously reviewed and younger people in general that are probably the people that are consuming this kind of content, are probably like us and waiting to get married until they were a little bit older. So maybe y'all are in similar stages of relationships and whatever. So I'm just putting the caveat out there that he and I have been married for 3, together for 8. So we've spent a number of years together, but anyway, I just felt like I needed to full disclosure how far we're. But I still think that all of these sayings that we're about to go through, because one thing led to another, and now Kayla and I have built out a whole list of them. I think a lot of them had good intentions, but it's one of those things where there's more to the story.
It was interesting when you brought this conversation up because I feel as though people do really talk hard on this particular topic. And now we've been married. It hasn't been even 2 years, 1.5, but together for 8 as well. I just think we have a different perspective, and maybe it's a generational thing, or maybe it's just a healthy relationship thing. But I'm excited to dive into that and just any other. I kind of was thinking about this as not bad advice, but.
Hey, turkeys, real quick, we want to tell you about our fun new free craft corner. Every quarter, in line with the equinox or solstice, we are going to send out new farts and crafts projects. You can find the link in the show notes. Just drop us your email. We promise not to spam you, but we'd love for you to join us. Now back to the show.
I'm excited to talk about it, but we can start off right with the marriage is hard work one, because I'm curious to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, when we first brought this up off podcast, I was thinking that is such a good like statement people say all the time, like marriage is hard work, blah blah blah, blah. And it always like made sense from afar it didn't make sense because I was like, what changes between two people being in a relationship and then just going to get married legally and putting a ring on it? Like, how does it change that much where it becomes just so much harder? So it was like, okay, yeah, like I don't understand because I'm not in it, but also I'm questioning it already. And now that Kenny and I have been together for so long and married for a couple years, I say a couple years, it's almost 2 years. Yes, there's sacrifice and effort and conversations and expectations that have to be like weighed and evaluated and kind of like make sure your guys are on a good point. Like we do like check-ins, but also that's with every relationship. it's not like I'm waking up in the morning like, I'm going to roll up my sleeves and get to work on this marriage thing. You know, like, maybe it's people's definition or what they think is hard, but I think any good relationship deserves and has mm-hmm. a certain level of effort that you have to put forth. So it's, but I like to say, like, with Kenny's and I relationship, it always felt so easy. So it's also hard for me to even say, like, I got to put in all this effort, because, like, it just comes so naturally. I just have to more so work on my interpersonal shit and go to therapy so that my shit doesn't leak into our relationship.
My initial reflection is that I think most of the adults that said that to me were in weird places in their marriages. So I sort of took that now with a caveat, but the one reason I don't like it is because I think you can get into a relationship when you start dating and it feels like work, but you have always thought, well, this is how this is supposed to be because it's supposed to be hard work. And then you never expect anything better and you never look for something that's easy, that flows, that gets along well. Okay. I'm feeling really rambly this morning, but I was kind of like making notes to myself. My main beef, I believe, is with the word work and it being the same word that we use for what I do at my place of employment. And I mean, everybody knows I'm obsessed with language. So I think part of that is it. Because when I say something is hard work or when I put in work, it's usually something that I'm describing that's either emotionally draining or negative. And maybe that's not how some people say it. Maybe some people are using the word work and effort interchangeably. But my interpretation of the word work has a negative connotation, because if, even though I like my job and it has moments of fulfillment, if someone gave me $1 million, I would quit my job. I would give them 30 days notice because I'm kind. But I would quit my job. No doubt about it. Versus if someone gave me $1 million, I'm not going to quit my marriage. So I don't know. That has always been a weird thing for me. And just what you said when Jason and I were talking about this, I was thinking every moment that has felt hard in our marriage was my shit or his shit. Like, it was our individual issues in the background. And the work didn't have to get done on our relationship, because both of us already came to the table with good communication skills mostly. But the work had to get done on ourselves. And so I think relationships in general require you to do that interpersonal work, which everything we talk about gets back to go to therapy. But all of those friction points were sort of sanded down once I took care of some of my stuff that was causing me to have, you know, emotional dysregulation around things that weren't that big of a deal and just causing confusion or whatever the case may be. And then kind of what you said, I definitely think anything you want to grow requires intention, just like plants. I mean, you have to water them and they have to be in a nurturing environment, but it doesn't feel hard. I would rather be around him than anybody else. And just like you said, from the day we started dating, things just sort of went into place. We just continue to spend time together. And now I can't imagine that not being the situation.
I was just thinking as you're talking, I do think there's a word problem here, because I do think good relationships that last a long time require effort. But the hard work, it's like when you feel obligated or stressed or under pressure to do X, Y, and Z, and work at something, it almost feels like when people say that, you're working to save it because something's wrong. Like, there may be underlying things where there's friction and pushback from the universe for a reason. And unfortunately, I feel like people don't take that in and accept that and just keep pushing forward or ignore it. But yeah, I like your plant analogy. I mean, even like a little, what are they called? Cactus? No. What are they called? Succulent. You know, they're so easy. They're pretty. They're nice. They're calm. It's fine. But you still gotta once in a while just check in, sprinkle some water, maybe just drop an ice cube. And I think that's, I do think healthy check-ins are good. Evaluate, you know, how are you feeling? Is there anything that I could be doing differently? Do you need anything else from me?
I despise that word. And I think it's important when you're in a relationship that's starting off, again, to do the internal work. And if things are still feeling hard and a strain and a struggle, and you're not married and you haven't made any type of a commitment, maybe that is a signal to think, is this, am I putting in more effort? Are we just battling each other? Because I mean, there are just some people that aren't compatible. Which is going to lead me to a later saying that I hate. But anyhow, do you have anything else to add before we move along?
No, I think we covered most of it. I do think it all comes back to therapy and working on yourself first.
I just think we all have these like spiky points from our childhood issues or the way we grew up or our expectations or all of these different things. And if we each take the time to go in and soften those out, then we're not going to be jabbing each other all the time. Yeah, I'm going to skip ahead to that one because it kind of fits. And that is opposites attract. I wrote down that while yes, opposites attract, opposites are also prone to argue. I think that there are some opposites that are irreconcilable. For example, kids versus no kids. I would think that would be obvious, but I don't know that it always is. And then the homebody versus out all the time. Because if not, if both of you are hardcore opposite on that, that is not a recipe for rest and relaxation for either of you. And even just the way that you vacation, if one person is a get in the morning and go do stuff, and the other person is a sit by the pool and read all day, there's nothing wrong with either of those. But if those things aren't compatible and you don't find any redeeming quality in the opposite version of what your vacation could look like, that is probably not ideal for you. So I think there's some opposites that don't put you in opposition, but I would question if you were truly an opposite of somebody on more things than you had in common, that could be a potential red flag.
Yeah, the opposites attract thing. I mean, no one's going to be in agreement on every single thing and you're going to have differing opinions, but I do feel as though more similarities, or at least how you think, the how you live, like the big types of living, like extrovert versus introvert, which granted, I do think you can have one extroverted person versus introverted. But
and if both people are willing to kind of ebb and flow within some of that, that's great. But if every single thing, the way you look at the world, the way you, you know, your political ideologies, your religious beliefs, if you have all of these things that are opposites, and like you said, if you're an extreme extrovert and you get all of your relaxation from going out and the other person is extremely drained by going out versus one person maybe taking the lead more often in a social setting, those are just not, those might not be recipes for great things later. Or you're both going to have to recognize, if you are extremely opposite in a lot of ways, that you both need to be very flexible and very willing give and take, because it's going to require a lot out of you. And I still think you should have more in common than you don't. Moving along.
We just did a lot of relationship to talk on stuff. Well, this kind of rolls into it. This is like going back a few decades when we were kids. And the saying that people would say to, especially women, little girls, if a woman or if a girl comes to their mom or their aunt or the teacher and like, little Billy's making fun of me and like he's like kicking my shins. And they're like, oh, sweetheart, he's probably just kicking you because he likes you. It did not take me until going through therapy myself to realize how
What's the cutoff on
how
that?
How asinine that statement is.
Dude, I didn't have that one on my list and I didn't even think about it. But that is a huge hugely problematic. I can't find any redeeming quality to that statement. And for boys, no boy needs to learn. Like, I know you guys would not raise your son to think he should be mean to girls. Here's how you get your attention.
Exactly.
It's one thing like being silly and being weird, or like running up to a girl and saying hey and then running away, you know, all of the weird shit that kids do that's goofy. But dude, you hit it. I hate that saying. I forgot about that. This one is
exactly
not related in any way, shape, or form, but breakfast is the most important meal of the day. It blew my entire mind when I was listening to a podcast and they said that was literally a marketing slogan for Kellogg's.
Don't put it in such a lie.
Oops.
Or at least how they mean it.
And they were explaining how that was the slogan for Kellogg's. And it's crazy that it just molded itself right into American culture.
It's crazy what big money marketing will do to a whole entire nation and society. Because when we were growing up, yeah, that was all it was. Make sure to eat your breakfast. Make sure blah, blah, blah. Now, and we're sitting there with a sugar bowl, which is going to cause us all to be crazy all day and not satiated. No. It's the worst advice.
I wake up and make myself work out, and then I sit in a chair for the majority of the day. I don't need to go eat a Grand Slam breakfast from Denny's to fuel my day.
It just depends on where you are and what you're trying to accomplish.
Also, I think more people were doing more manual labor and doing more physical jobs, because this is, the way I remember it is, this is old, old Kellogg's. I don't know. I don't really want to guess. But I'm thinking before the big marketing boom, and definitely before things turned sugary. And if I'm correct, he and his brother started it together and then split off, and one made the sugar ones and the other one kept trying to make the actual healthy ones because he had a whole a health sanitarium. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But it's still funny that the big company now has still continued to hold on to that. And how our parents said that to us about eating our Lucky Charms.
So ironic. That's interesting. Okay, this is on another health topic. But the saying, you can sleep when you're dead, because you will die quicker if you don't sleep. Because sleep is so important. Sleep is so important. So people are like, you can sleep when you're dead. Which is the whole grind harder culture and push yourself to the brink of a fuckle, like mental breakdown. It's not healthy. You have to get a good quality of sleep. So I do think there's seasons, but I don't like the pressure of either way of you have to work for 30 years and then you can have fun when you retire.
And it bothers me. It makes it sound as if your life ends when you get married and that your life ends again when you have children. I think it's great to travel while you're young. I lived overseas by myself. I took another trip to Costa Rica on like a group tour trip by myself. And those were great things. But I have loved traveling with Jason so much. The traveling by myself was good for me, for my confidence, I guess, knowing that I could. But it's way more fucking fun to do it with somebody that you love and that you have fun with. And I mean, if you can travel with your girlfriends or do some of those things while you're young because you don't have as many obligations, but also a lot of us don't make a lot of money when we're young. And so the pressure to me of I have to hurry up and spend all this money to take trips is a little bit ridiculous. And also I doubt any of the boomers did that. They were just having midlife crises and regrets.
It's interesting because when you first said that, it sparked something that I was thinking about. All the boomers that I know and that are my parents' age, most of them, it is probably a regret thing because most of them worked for 20, 30 years. And then once they retired, then they started taking trips. And I just feel like that's too late in life. You know, obviously with kids, things change. Like you have seasons. We haven't done anything in a couple of years because I've been pregnant and now we have under 1 year old. So it's not as easy. Am I wanting to go fly somewhere nice? Yeah, but it's not on the top of my priority list because I love spending time with my family right now. However, in the near future, we'll feel like we can branch out again. That may not be the case because you may die before that time. Yeah.
even Jason and I now, because he doesn't have a lot of vacation leave or vacation time, are just planning little weekend things that are close. Just, I think it's how you spend mm-hmm. your money. And some of me feels as though the boomers were too busy trying to buy a bigger house and a bigger car that they forgot to budget to live their life once their kids came. It goes somewhere. I don't know. Okay. Your turn.
That's funny. Okay, so one more on the health thing. The saying, no pain, no gain. Okay. Okay. Motivation, kick ass. You have to have some, you know, to like get it in the gym. But I swear, when they're like, no pain, no gain. So I have to be in physical pain to gain. I have to potentially injure myself for the sake of getting to where I want to be. Like, you have to figure out what is actually just muscle under tension and soreness and achiness versus I'm about to pull something. I feel like in that workout culture, and when you're really in it, there's, you got to fucking toughen up. And I feel like when you're in an atmosphere, it could be very helpful with someone spotting you and pushing you and motivating you, but it could also take you a little too far.
I'm going to blast through two real quick because I don't want to go for too long. Number one, these insert blank here will be the best years of your life, whether high school or college. Hate it. Hate the idea of peaking at any era. I do think you want to teach your kids how to appreciate what they have in the season of life that they have and recognize all the, you know, the seasons will change and it won't be like this anymore. But also, I remember being in high school and being like, if this is the best mm-hmm. years of my life, what's the point of my life? Without saying that in a more blunt way that would get me flagged on YouTube. And then my next one was go to college, because I think that education is pivotal and important, but we don't live Agreed. In the just go to college days anymore. You need to have a plan, understand what you're doing. Does that directly turn into a degree field? What is the cost of the degree versus the average salary of that position? And also, there are skilled labor jobs and tech jobs, or like tech school style, you know, welding and electricians and all of the mathy things that I can't do that can be extremely high paying and very rewarding and don't require you to take a humanities class from your local junior college. So yes, continue your education, but do it with purpose and figure out what you want to pursue. And maybe we don't need to encourage 18-year-olds to sign their life away in tens of thousands of dollars of student loan debt before they can even be allowed to purchase alcohol. And I understand if the boom to college, it guaranteed them a good paying job, but that is no longer the case. God bless you, boomers. I know y'all meant well, yeah. but the times changed between when you did things and your kids did things.
Yeah, I think it's a personal thing that you have to choose. I don't think it should be a normal thing that everyone expects 18-year-olds to do. It just depends on a lot of factors. I've got really my last one that's good is the saying, kill them with kindness. Caveat, kindness is always the way to go. I think everyone should be kind. I think that's very important. I think it makes you a good human being. It's just like, sometimes you got to punch the bully back, you know?
So I was saying, you can stand up, you can be kind, kind, kind. And then when you have to switch the flip the switch over to put somebody in their place, you can still do that in a more kind manner where the goal is to stand up for yourself versus belittle them. We've got, especially our girls, if you're uncomfortable, you don't need to manage somebody else's feelings. You need to stand up for yourself and have your opinion or be assertive. And yeah, you don't need to worry about that. Yes. Maybe someone's ego is going to be a little bit bruised if it is related to your safety and wellness. We don't need to talk about this because we have before, but just again, if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. I legitimately think that some of the satisfaction of doing what you love is overcoming something difficult and working through the challenges to make it a success, even if you're in your own business. Anyway, I also love social work, but it is definitely fucking work a lot. Okay, two relationship ones, and then I'm going to end with a commercial that makes me want to murder people. Number one of the relationship final ones is the idea that women need to complain about their husbands to other women. And that it's always the same things, like he's messy, he's disorganized. Yeah. I don't even know if half of them mean it or it's just this weird relationship rut people fall into of talking about. It annoys me. I don't like the social contract of we have to drink wine and complain about our family. I just, ew. Next, the idea that men want sex all the time and women never do. I hate, because you get into a relationship and turns out guys actually don't want sex all the time. And then you think you're fat and ugly. Or you get into a relationship and you realize you have a fairly healthy sex drive and then feel like that's somehow unappealing to them. Whereas the reality is things just ebb and flow and there's a million different influences. And that is something for people to negotiate within their relationship and not anyone else's business.
Thank you for listening. There's a lot of nuance.
And if you disagree, also let us know.
Kids, don't listen to all advice.
And I guess all I got.
Yes.
I love you, bye.
And also. Love you, bye.
Thank you for listening to the Non-Sexual Soulmates podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share with a friend and consider subscribing and reviewing. It would mean the world. You can find our faces and more outrageous content over on Instagram at nonsexual_soulmates and on TikTok at nonsexual soulmates. Our full videos are also on YouTube. If you want to share your own stories, we'd love to hear them. You can call us and leave us a voicemail. You can find our phone number, email, and all of our other links in the show notes. Until next time, you turkeys.